Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Probably more of a bigger picture conversation. That's what I want to have here. Because
well, we're into those now.
That's where we're at. Yeah, this is now already starting to look a little bit towards the future and how you feel about certain things. And yesterday we talked a lot about Travis Kelce and the rough season he's had. I understand receiving statistically is going to look impressive at the end, but it's no secret. He has had three massive drops that led to points, you know, directly, essentially.
Yep.
And that's brutal to watch for someone that's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. All of that. We know a year or so ago, Noah Gray got an extension. And last year, I thought there were some signs that would make you believe that, okay, maybe he is somebody that can, well, he's not going to be Travis Kelce. He's not going to be a top three, top five tight end. But could he be someone that you could roll with for a couple years and go from there? Fast forward this year. Now, this past week, in fairness, he was coming off a very, very serious, I thought, concussion. In that Colts game, right? That, like, look, every concussion is serious, but that was a really, really ugly hit and yep. fall that he took and clearly was impacted. And so he was back, and I don't know if that's still getting back in the groove what it was. This season and this particular game, I don't know how you can watch Noah Gray and think that, all right, that can be the tight end one next year for the Chiefs if, in fact, Travis Kelce's gone.
No. Look, and we don't have to toss out names yet. We can spend an offseason doing that. Before somebody inevitably mentions Kyle Pitts and Alex Groans. And I can't blame him. Remember, I got off that train there for a while. I mean, if he's just a free agent, I don't really care. But I got off of the, like, let's trade for him and fix him part.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the regression years for Xavier Worthy and the regression year for Rashee Rice. And some of these guys got worse. And the offense has been worse. Noah Gray's taken a bigger drop off than any of them. He is quite a bit worse than last year's player. He has 17 catches. In 12 games this year, he missed one, so like 13 games for the team, but 12 for him. He has 17 catches. So he's good for what, one? And then on an accident game, two catches a game? His yards per target are down. He's half of his yards per game. He's a worse player, and he's getting older. He's 26 years old, as in, like, not old, but
yeah,
like,
I got you.
He should be improving as a player. And I wanted to think that if Travis Kelce retired, what they would have is a league average tight end. And you'd be surprised how easy it is to be a league average tight end. Guys like Juwan Johnson and a million other guys, they get like 500-600 yards, and they are just like any other tight end in the NFL. Look, they're not Trey McBride or Brock Bowers or the two or three names that are higher on that list. But it's not hard to be a league average tight end. This season has completely cratered my confidence of if they go into the beginning of next year, and let's say Travis Kelce retires, obviously, for the sake of this argument. If they go into the beginning of next year and tight end one is Noah Gray, well, then that better come with you telling me that you did something significant to upgrade your wide receiver room, your weapon room in some capacity.
Yeah.
Because if he's one and it's still just Worthy and Rice and Thornton and, I don't know, Jalen Royals in year two, I'm not overly optimistic on. Well, then you've set them up to have a bad weapon group again. You better have somebody of equal or greater footing to Noah Gray, and at least in a timeshare situation. He can't just be the only dude.
Hey, look, I can be realistic about the tight end position moving forward. I mean, I think this it'll be unusual for people that have only watched the Travis Kelce era of the Chiefs and don't remember that. And we were very fortunate in Kansas City. You had Tony Gonzalez, and then you had a gap, and they tried a bunch of different names, the Brad Cottoms and Tony Moiakis, et cetera, of the world. And then it was Travis Kelce, and he turned into a Hall of Famer and everything. Whoever the next tight end one is, whenever that day happens, Cody, whether it's Gray, whether it's somebody not on the roster, et cetera, whenever Kelce hangs it up, and I do think it will be after this year, that player, unfortunately, people are going to expect insane things, and that's just not the norm. So you said it. A league average tight end, you're not going to walk right into another Hall of Fame tight end and the best tight end in football again.
Seems unlikely.
So I guess
you're going to do that a third time?
I'm just saying, like, can we be realistic with whoever that next guy is with the expectation, though? You don't want to have a bottom five tight end in football, but I'm just saying, let's say that tight end ends up being very average tight end that is a 680 to 750-yard receiver.
That's fine.
That's what most tight ends are in the National Football League.
Like, Juwan Johnson is a top 10 yardage leading tight end. He'll be a free agent this year. Evan Engram was on the street. Didn't work out for Denver. They have not gotten their value out of it. Noah Fant. But in a way, Juwan Johnson and Evan Engram, those are guys who have had far more production than I'm convinced Noah Gray can have. Like, I just think he might need a compliment. Like, what you might need to do is you can't go in thinking it's tight end one and then there's a gap and then there's tight end two, the way they've been operating for so long. And what you might need is multiple bodies kind of doing the same job or operating in a similar fashion. But this goes back to, like, Benjamin Solak had an article out today, just generally in the NFL. And one of his...
Where's he at now again?
The Athletic.
Not the Ringer anymore,
I think it's the Athletic now, right?
Is it the ESPN?
It
is ESPN.
So that's saying. We just named three places.
ESPN? You're right. He did go to ESPN. You're right.
I asked, because I couldn't remember. We just named three of them.
Yeah, Benjamin Solak at ESPN had a long article out, and part of this was dedicated to the Chiefs' current offensive issues. Like, hey, how do they solve them? And what he was talking about is, look, I mean, the thing that we said earlier in the show, you got to come to the reality that part of their problem is weapons-based.
Yeah.
And that they just do not have enough dudes. And look at the year after year after year and some of the position groups they've been putting out on the field. So my problem is that if Noah Gray is your tight end one or co-tight end one with someone of equal value, well, then the Chiefs have to upgrade a weapon in a big way this offseason. And I don't know if that, in this article, he mentions, like, swinging for a fence.
Well.
Like, he jokes about trading for Justin Jefferson. Mm-hmm. He said, please do not quote me on that. And that's not what he's actually saying.
No, but Cody
is going to happen. But, like, they're going to have to take a bigger swing in a draft or this and make their position known.
I don't know who the name is. I don't know whether that's via free agency or draft. I think there are two clear things on offense. One, they need to find a wide receiver that is capable of winning in man-to-man coverage on a regular basis. And right now, we all know, like, if a defense is running zone, Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce right now, even still at this point, those guys can find open spots against zone. Against man, it's a struggle. And that goes back to having a more physically imposing wide receiver that doesn't get pushed around. So
he mentioned this too. Too many players who are the same.
Yes.
Do similar things.
Xavier Worthy.
You need a different type of wide receiver.
Like,
he mentioned Juwan Jennings being different. Yeah, just somebody.
Xavier Worthy in this offense absolutely can and should work. And he's got the skill set to work. But you can't have three receivers like him. And that's part of the problem. So I was just saying, the physical receiver. And then you said, Cody, if the tight end is going to be average in the future, which is likely what it will be, well, it gets back to clearly where the league is at, running back. Clearly where the league is at. Last night's an example. We were talking about this before the show. I know the Eagles ended up losing, okay? The Chargers beat them in overtime. Saquon Barkley, and he is the elite of the elite, so I'm not suggesting that you can just go find Saquon Barkley's all over the place by any means. But 50-yard touchdown run. Nothing going for that offense, and then he can turn one into a 50-yard run. That's not anywhere in the cards for the Kansas City Chiefs backfield for multiple years. It's been a very long time.
And you're not suggesting with, like, the 15, you're not suggesting, like, Jeremiah Love, right? You're not suggesting that high or anything.
But he might be
whether,
that guy,
whether
though,
it's yeah. whether and yeah, he probably is that guy. But whether it's the draft or free agency, they have to recognize that their running game has to have some explosiveness, and it's non-existent. And it, but applaud Kareem Hunt for the effort he put in this. By the way, like, they'd be even more screwed if Kareem Hunt didn't provide them what they did, because he has been very, very important to them for the role that they asked him to serve. But there's no explosiveness in the backfield. They have to go attack the offseason with thinking that that's where the NFL is at in 2025 and 2026. It is not just go ahead and spread everybody out and kind of go with the, what are they, not Legion, yeah, Legion of Zoom type of offense. Yeah. That's not what it is.
Drew, you could probably answer this better than me, just knowing the draft situation. Because I've said this before, Gold, and it's way easier than it's ever been. I've made the argument that because of wide receiver and because of offensive tackle, the Chiefs, I think as an organization, are actually better positioned to take this like big, massive swing for a desperate need than any, you know, like the way teams trade it for a quarterback. Yeah. The Chiefs, in my opinion, for all those years, could have done for left tackle. If let's say they're picking 14th right now. Is there in this draft a Ja'Marr Chase-esque guy? Because I'll be honest, I think you can make the argument of go up to 8, go up to 6. If there's a dude like that, because you're closer than you've ever been,
right,
draft pick wise, to get a player like that.
2027 draft has more of those wide receivers than you're talking about.
I would say there are no Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson types of wide receivers, but there are multiple T. Higgins second round wide receiver types.
Yeah, that's not
you want. You want a guy that can go catch the ball? Jordan Tyson, Arizona State.
2027 is the I would put in the stud wide receiver all over the place category.
You want guys that can go catch the ball, though, like go up and get a ball? Carnell Tate, Jordan Tyson.
I want someone I can throw a
top 10 picks. Carnell Tate's going to be like the 8th pick in the draft, probably. 7th pick in the draft.
Jordan Tyson is probably a first rounder.
I want to.
He's a guy that would be
the issue, though. Like, so we're having the offense.
Mekhi Lemon, like, another one that is more of what they currently have. So I would say no to him. But Chris Brazel, he's 6'5" and runs a 4.4.
And that's a completely different type of wide receiver than they've really ever had under Andy Reid, or, you know, in his time in Kansas City. And even going back to Philly, it's pretty rare. We all agree on the type of receiver. I think we all agree. My only thing with the whole trade up thing that you're mentioning, Cody, is I think you agree with this. Like, still number one priority to me, though, is defensive line in the draft.
Yeah,
and so trade up, fine, to go find an edge rusher. If you think there's an edge rusher that's dominant, but I would be way more interested in them securing a defensive line overhaul with their top pick than up for another wide receiver.
And still Mahomes.
In the second round, but even like to your guys' point, though, because obviously Rasheed was a second rounder. They found guys who can play. It's not even necessarily about where they get it. It's the type of guy that they get in that round. So even if it is this, let's say instead of waiting until the fourth to get a guy like Jalen Rose, who also is just like Rasheed Rice in terms of size, getting a guy in the second round, maybe you address the defensive line early. And then in the second round, you find a guy that fits the prototype for a guy that can go up and get the ball a little bit better. Ball tracking is solid, can make a contested catch. Maybe that's a guy that you just take, and he might not be the best at the position, but he's a guy that throws something different at a defense that might end up working out.
Look, there probably isn't like a Tet McMillan or those. And I'm not saying that edge is not the bigger need. It's just, and I thought that this was actually the way they've handled everything since, I don't think was particularly smart. The way they paid everybody. I don't think I would have paid T. Higgins. I would have paid a defensive player. But like when Joe Burrow got hurt and all of a sudden they found themselves picking 9, I don't think it's the worst strategy. Like, when else are you going to get a wide receiver of that talent? But what you're telling me is this draft have this
that
talent.
That's a good point.
And that's an issue. If it doesn't line up, it doesn't line up. But I thought it was really smart of Cincinnati to be like, you know what? We're pairing these two up for 10 years. They should have done a million other roster things different after that.
Go get a stud receiver. I'm saying and we can have Bink on much closer to the draft and stuff. And those guys are way more locked into
the
draft.
We're talking human centipede and the draft. Damn you, Chiefs. You've ruined December for me.
I'm just saying, even as a very, very casual draft, off-season observer, okay, I even know that the 2026 draft is not the best for wide receivers, is all I'm saying, at the top end of the draft. That's all.
Like, it is
Carnell Tate, it can be very, very good. I'm just saying, like, if you're thinking that, oh my gosh, there's Chris Olave again, and there's Justin Jefferson again, and there's Ja'Marr Chase again, and there's, you know, Tet McMillan type and all that, that I disagree that exists in the top 10.
Ja'Marr Chase was taken like 25 or whatever.
If you look at big time production, though, in terms of like why wide receivers, like, I don't know where, if you look at the 20, like they've got a bunch of wide receivers who are 20s talent. Like their first, like Jordan Tyson is a first round talent. Yeah. He's been injured over the last year and a half, but he's as good as any wide receiver in the country when he's fully healthy. Same thing with Mekhi Lemon, who might end up winning the is in the running for the Biletnikoff Award just with Jeremiah Smith. But the problem with Mekhi Lemon, he is Xavier Worthy. He is Rashee Rice. They are the exact
That's
same
the other
type
thing
of player.
Is, are they willing? Like I hate having this conversation. This
Mekhi
Lemon
is the best out of the group, I think.
Are if the opportunity was there. Is Brett Veach and Andy Reid, are they willing to draft a wide receiver the type that we are all saying we think they need?
The only
DeAndre Hopkins, in fairness, so, who's basically that guy.
Well, that's, but of course, a trade for a fifth round or midseason. Yeah.
T.O. is the only last receiver I could think in an Andy Reid offense who describes the size and talent type that we're talking about. He was like 6'3", 220.
And how
pounds.
Good was he with Andy's offense?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Look, I just want one.
I just don't think a wide receiver, unless they end up acquiring multiple first round picks, either trading down or they trade McDuffie to get multiple first round picks. If you tell me right this second, which is what they have, if they're picking, 15th or 14th and they only have one first round pick without knowing the rest of the board, if a trade down's real, I would not want them spending that pick on a wide receiver. That's all I'm saying.
Not unless not this year. Depending on the year, look, if Jeremiah Love was available and they could trade up to pick number 9 and he was a member of the Chiefs, I'm probably interested. But because that's not the case, I'm not. And that kind of changes the math a little bit too. And I think some of their issue might not even be that the wide receivers aren't talented enough, but they're not diverse enough. I in a weird way can make an argument that, like, let's go back to 2024 or 2023, right? Where I think Xavier Worthy and Justin Watson and Juju Smith-Schuster do more different, and Mecole Hardman and DeAndre Hopkins do more different things than this wide receiver unit does. They're more diverse. And that, I think, is part of my issue, is that they've somehow managed, and I don't know if it was on accident or purpose or they weren't thinking about it, but like MVS and Rashee Rice and McColl in that previous year, they all did different things. You might not love MVS, but they had different skill sets. They possessed different ability. This wide receiver unit feels like they all just want to run the same 6 routes. And it's like, they got to have more diversity. Well, that, in that article by Solak, he mentioned
the only good thing is moving ahead, contract-wise, only Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, and Jalen Royals really are under contract. Yeah. So no matter what, the wide receiver room is going to be different next year, whether they do it through draft, free agency, or otherwise.
In fairness, though, is Cody, is that a scheme thing or is that a talent thing? Because we saw Xavier Worthy do everything at Texas. He has not done everything for the Kansas City Chiefs. We've seen Rashee Rice's average catch, I think at SMU Senior, was like 20 yards.
I don't know, but it's like college.
And they threw the ball up, and he went and got it. But the problem is they don't use him that way.
I know, but like in college, like it's just so hard to translate. Because in college, it all looks like they're doing everything because they're just superior athletes to everyone else. You know, for the same reason, like a quarterback might have thrown it all over the yard, but doesn't once they get to the pros. I get your point, but it's tough. And then we're stuck with the reality here anyway, that you and I both agree that this is probably, I think, end of Dynasty 1 now. Like as soon as they, and if you wanted to say as soon as they don't officially make the playoffs, fine. Cool, we're in. And even though they could go back to the playoffs, they could win the division. Short of winning the Super Bowl next year, because then I would have obviously been wrong. If they win the Super Bowl next year, then you and I prematurely called Dynasty 1 over. I just think they have so much roster stuff to deal with that they could be a playoff team next year.
Yeah.
That we're a couple years away from completely riding this ship.
Yeah. And it is just going to be 1 year of, at this point in time, of not getting to a Super Bowl, not getting to an AFC title game. All I am saying, and I think you're saying, is that the reason why it feels like it's the end of this current run is because next year, just out of necessity with where your contracts on the books are and who's not on the books, you're going to have to reset. However, you may not like the terminology I'm using, rebuild, reset, whatever. We can come up with different words to describe essentially what we're all talking about.
Yeah.
They will have to pivot in a different direction whether it's a minimum player personnel, maybe with some internal staff stuff. We'll see. I don't know if they're going to do that or not. That is just naturally going to happen this offseason.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.